Welcome to the Lifting Lounge podcast. Join your hosts, Josh Parkin and Jack Buffery, as they give you the knowledge and the tools to take your physical and mental performance to the next level.
Hi. How are you doing?
Oh, wait, I just realized I still haven't checked the edit on the last episode yet, but yeah. So no, I was just thinking we start.
I remember, yeah, I remember now. Yeah. Fair enough.
Me and Josh were just talking about prickly things. That's about it.
Yeah, Jack's got a new prickly thing for his birthday as a present. Imagine what that is.
Cactus butt plug. No, it's imagine that. It's a shuck tea mat. But before we get into this, just a tip. Today is going to be all about accepting things you can and can't do. In the current news, we're going to talk about the state of the movie industry, movie titles. This has been on my mind for a while, and I haven't had a proper place to introduce it, so I'm going to do it here. Then in Fit Talk, we're going to talk about what five pieces of equipment would you pick for a gym. Study Time is talking about how dietary restriction slows brain aging, increases lifespan. And the hot topic today is 7 steps to get your nutrition on track. But before we go into all of this, Josh, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I tell you what, what did I do today? I've been training and then I've been working. And I was working today and I thought I had like something prickly in my boot, and I took my boot off and I was like, why does this really hurt? Took my sock off and I think I've like ruptured a tendon or something underneath one of my toes, because my toe it's all just purple. I was like, oh fuck knows
how would fine. You have done that?
I don't know, maybe I just did it training this morning and just walking and I've just like snapped something on my, but it's fine, it's
what,
not
toe?
It's just all purple. That I guess your index toe next to my big toe. Yeah. Back in.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay.
Yeah.
Have you been, what? I'm just trying to think, what? Have you been doing any jumping or skipping
did
rope
cleans
or anything like
today?
That?
Well, no. So I did a mixture of things. Did cleans. It might be my foot slipped off the air bike today and I wasn't wearing any shoes. So it might have been that.
Oh, but maybe it was that. It's just a weird toe for it to be the only one that's affected. Yeah.
Fuck knows, mate. Fuck knows. I've got a purple toe. But from that, mate, I'm all right. I'm pretty, like you said a minute ago, I'm pretty tired. I'm not going to lie. We had a big day yesterday and I've been training and working hard and I am a little bit sleepy, but we're going to power through.
We are. Yeah, I'm just a little bit tired because I've been eating very well, as in cleanly, for the last couple of weeks. And then yesterday was my birthday, so I ate a lot of food. And I've just got a food hangover, because that's a thing, definitely a thing the older you get as well. So I'm just like, fuck me, I can't believe how much of a difference that's made to me. Because the other thing is, and this goes along with a saying that I say to quite a lot of people, most people don't know what good feels like. And I was in that zone like the last 10 days or so. I've been like, yeah, I feel fucking fantastic. My energy levels are up. Dropping through the day. I feel good. I feel lively. And then to go from that to what I am today, it's like, fuck me. It just really goes to show. And actually, this ties in with the summary of the study time later on. But yeah, it's interesting how it feels. So it's all good. It's all good. I've got a big day today as well later on. So I just got to get my shit together, train, and feel good.
Yeah, it'd be fine. It'd be fine. Maybe get... Oh, you don't like napping. I was going to say get a nap in, but it's not your thing.
Although, so Kimberly, this is what we're talking about when I press record. Kimberly's got me some shuck tea mats. So they're basically like, if you remember the old pin beds, as in like a bed of nails type thing. It's that sort of thing. It's not because she hates me, I hope. It's because she loves me and they're supposed to be for self-care. So she's got me a roll-out mat, which is about like, it'll probably cover from my upper back down to my butt, I guess. That's how long it is. And also a pillow, which will be like for my neck and the back of my head. So it's supposed to encourage relaxation and it is sharp as hell. I haven't tried it yet. So I'll give that a shot today after training to see how that feels.
Mate, that's interesting. I'm genuinely interested in how it's going to work, if it actually does work, if it does anything. Yeah.
The interesting thing is, I just, I Yeah, they are interesting. As I was saying to you, I put my hand in the box and I was like, oh shit, that hurt. I wasn't expecting it to be that sharp because I didn't know what it was. I just reached in. I was like, what is this? So what's that going to be like when 95 kilos of me is laying down on it? Do you know what I mean? I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be, is it going to be like painful as hell? So there's apparently 3 levels of it. And she was like, she said, oh, I know what you're like though. Like you'll do level 1 and then you'll think that's like too easy. So I've got you level 2 straight away. I'm like, oh shit. Like I like level 2s when it comes to like puzzles and stuff like that. Like go straight to level 2 on. Yeah, but we'll see. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to give it a good going of like, I don't know how long you're supposed to do it, to be honest. So I'll read all the literature stuff that goes with it later on and I'll have a play.
Yeah, so this morning I was in the gym training and they managed to convince me to go to calisthenics. So I'm doing that at least once a week. But she then went, so when are you going to come to mobility class, Josh? And I thought I was quite mobile, but obviously she's asking me to come to mobility. I'm not. And I was like, well, I can't go to the time that it's on anyway. But I was like, well, I do really want to learn how to do the splits. And she was like, okay, well, there is a splits class at this time, whatever.
Oh, like, wow, okay, is cool. There? Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. And I was like, well, I can't come to that class, but would you write me a program? And she was like, hell yeah. So I'm going to get a program wrote for me to do the splits.
That is cool. Splits has like always been at the back of my mind of being a girl. I've been, I don't know how close I am at the moment, but I've always been like relatively close to being able to do it, but never actually been able to do the full way.
Yeah. Well, mate,
are you talking about outward splits or like front to back splits?
I'm talking about like Van Damme.
Yes, Van Damme splits. That is the best way. Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
So also, I'm just here, just having a look, because we haven't done this in a while, just having a look at who's watching our podcast from where. You know, I like to do this every now and again, see who's... So Pomerania... Somebody's listened to the podcast.
I'm guessing that's where the dogs are from.
Benino, Pomerania, where it's in Europe. Fuck knows where that is. And
Italian.
I fucking Lodz Voivodeship.
Okay.
Hi, people from these fucking places in the middle of nowhere. Lodz Voivodeship is Poland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, nice. Hello, Polish person. Actually, it looks cool. It looks like a cool place. They got a really cool water park and an aquarium. Yeah. So, hi, people from Pomerania and Poland. Nice to meet you. And Antwerp.
Antwerp. Nice.
Mm.
Hey, how have we got that? So, apparently, we've got 5 in the United States, but... there's no United States cities on the breakdown of it. How does that work?
Who knows?
No idea.
Who knows? Fuck knows. So, Jack, sometimes my tip just wants it all. It wants all of it. Everything it can get its fucking greasy hands
tip on.
Yeah. It just wants it all. And maybe you can help.
Absolutely fucking not.
Maybe you can help my tip understand why it can't get it all, Jack.
Josh, sometimes I'm going to give you a tip right now, and it's just a tip. Sometimes you have to accept. Sometimes you have to accept that you just won't do it all, and all your tip. So no, ladies and gentlemen, just a tip for today is accept you won't do it all. This is the week of the year where most people really start to drop off from whatever New Year's resolutions they have set themselves. You're probably, if you did start at the beginning week of January, you're probably already like, oh shit, like this is hard. This is tough work. What I'm going to say is carry on doing the important stuff, the big things. Just carry on working out. If you're going to the gym, just get the big lifts done. Make sure you get that done. It doesn't have to be a whole hour to 90-minute session. Just go in and get, like, if you're going 5 days a week, just get a big lift in each day. And then that's a good place to start. You can build on that. You're not going to do it all in one go, guys. You're not going to be able to turn into some fucking superhero overnight by lifting all the weights, running all the runs, tighten up your diet to something ridiculous. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to be able to take everything on at once. So
accept
that you won't do it all. Just take the 2 to 3 top priority things that you are doing and focus on getting really fucking good at them.
Yeah, definitely. I think most people, especially when it comes to New Year's, they are trying, they have lofty goals for the year. And then they try and do two bigger things at once. Yeah. So they're trying to, everybody's trying to do like crazy shit all at the same time. And you're not going to do all of that. It's not going to happen. That's why we always talk about small increments, small wins every day. So focus on the little steps that you can take to get towards the bigger picture rather than just trying to do some crazy shit every day and do everything at once. It's not going to work. Trust me. I mean, like me and Jack have both got a lot on, you know what I mean? I've got fucking 5 jobs. So like you can't do it all. You have to take small steps towards that big goal.
Yeah, and like, actually, that's a good point. This goes well outside of the health and fitness sphere as well. It goes into everything. You know, if you, the thinner you spread yourself, the worse you're going to show up for yourself and everyone else in other areas of your life. So just nail in the important things, get them hammered first. And it's like driving a car, right? Like when you first start to drive a car, you've got to think, right, shit, I've got to put the clutch down, take it out into, put it into a gear, turn the indicator, steer the wheel, put some pressure on the gas, like all of that stuff. But now, if you've been driving for like a year or more, now it's just called driving the car. Like you don't have to think of all of those things. So if you nail down the big things now, essentially they will become just driving the car. You'll have them so dialed in that that's your natural level, and then you'll be able to start adding more things in. And that is just the best way to do it.
Yeah, buddy, that's exactly that. So don't try and do it all at once, guys.
Josh.
Yes.
I've got a fucking bone to pick with Hollywood right now.
Hollywood.
Welcome to Current News, ladies and gentlemen. And this is a Geek Corner version yet again, because I can't remember if I've even mentioned this to you yet, but Hollywood is pissing me off.
What's she done?
With Hollywood. She didn't text me back, the bitch. No, she I have a bone to pick with Jason Statham. Jason Statham, yeah.
Specifically.
Jason Statham, come at me, bro. I blame him for this. Yeah. So I'm just gonna read you out a few movie titles, right?
Yep.
The Hitman, The Gunman, The Sniper, The Protector. What, you know, with those things, Jason Statham isn't any of those, okay? So the Hitman's like Chuck Norris, the Sniper, I don't know who that is, the Protector is Tony Jaa. Like, what genre of films would you say they are?
Action.
Okay, right, good. However, in fact, let me have a quick Google of this and see what year. Because I'm pretty sure this is the first one. It might, like, this is the first big one. In 2011, Jason Statham came out of a film. Cool.
Yeah.
Have you got any idea what film I'm going to mention now?
So, wow, there's The Mechanic.
Yes. The Mechanic.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Fucking, I'm still good.
Yeah, you are good. But those films are also good. I like it. I'm just going to read it. All right. So, The Mechanic. Arthur Bishop, Jason Statham, is a mechanic, an elite assassin with a strict code and unique talent for clearly eliminating targets. Fair. Have you seen what the new Jason Statham film that's coming out is called?
No.
It looks good, by the way. It looks good. No, but I bet that will be fucking one. And this is the point of this, right? Okay. The next one is called The Beekeeper. The film takes you on a relentless journey with one man, operative of enigmatic beekeepers, and he's a fucking beekeeper in the film as well, okay? Google this shit. It looks good.
Fuck off.
Right.
What a fucking shit name.
Yeah. But nope. Josh, looks our journey like into shit. Lost some, oh, fuck.
I'm back.
You just disappeared.
I'm back.
Well, obviously Hollywood heard us and they just shut us down like straight away. Fuck you, the lifting lounge. You're not into this little thing. So I'm guessing in that little time there, you've just Googled The Beekeeper, right?
What the fuck?
Yeah. It looks good, but he's a legitimate beekeeper, but is also a beekeeper with a past. Okay, but Okay, this doesn't stop here, right? And you have to forgive my American over, like, trailer voice. That's another question I want to find out as well, is when did they stop using the American, like, voice for action film, like, narration?
Yeah.
Remember the trailers? You would have heard of this one. The Accountant, a thriller film starring Ben Affleck as a highly functioning autistic accountant who moonlights as an assassin.
The thing is, he's like mass autistic, right? But imagine if he was just like rocks autistic. Like, he's just like, he's an assassin, but he just really likes rocks. And every time he goes up to someone, he just goes, "Oh my God, have you seen this rock?" And then just fucking nails him in the head.
Like, so the point I'm getting at is that there's a load of random things, random titles here that are just being given. But our journey is not over yet, Josh, because...
Oh, no.
Because...
<You can't.
laughs> Fuck, what's his name? I need to... This one's even worse.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Right. Ron Perlman is the baker. An elderly baker must do everything he can to protect his granddaughter from gangsters. And not only that, in the write-up it says he has to smuggle drugs in loaves of bread and then use his secretive past to fucking get his granddaughter back. So yeah,
the baker.
The baker.
I really hope he only kills people with rolling pins. Just
I'm just Googling it now. Google images right now because he's holding a fucking rolling pin.
Fuck off.
I'm not joking, man.
For fuck's sake, what is going on?
Oh, my head's hurting from laughing. Oh man.
Oh, the baker. It's not even first The Baker movie. There's another Baker movie as well.
I bet the other one's legit though, but it's not an action film.
No, it is an action film.
No.
A professional hitman, Milo, flees the city after failing to carry out a contract. Begins some British leisurely life in the country posing as a baker. And the actor is fucking Damian Lewis.
What?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's based on the same one. I wonder if that's a British version and the Americans have redone it because they have no original idea.
So funny.
But I should save that one for last, actually. There is one more.
Oh God.
Aaron Eckhart is the bricklayer. Steve Vale, a seasoned ex-CIA operative, is drawn back into the shadows to confront a formidable extortionist threatening the agency's very existence. Now, the difference with this one...
But it's actually... go on.
The difference with this one is, I think the bricklaying isn't actually anything to do with it. I think it's something to do with building stuff up. Whereas all the others, actually, I think the mechanic, he has a mechanic shop and stuff like that. But
imagine a bricklayer. It's just some guy that is like on a site, so
funny you used to say that because when I was Googling the bricklayer earlier on, because I heard about this the other day, I can't remember if it was this one or the baker that made me fucking get on this little rant anyway. But there is another one.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Oh, where is it? The bricklayer.
Oh, God.
Oh, I can't find it. But yeah, there is another bricklayer that came out where it is a bricklayer who's had a traumatic past and does something, but I haven't Googled that enough to know what it is.
I'm thinking now, there's got to be, right, let's see. Let's just, like, pick a random fucking profession.
The plumber.
I picked the milkman.
The milkman. That's going to be porn, man. Be careful what you're Googling.
No, the milkman's coming with something else. The plumber. There's got to be the plumber for sure. Oh my God, there is a movie called The Plumber. But I don't know what it is.
So basically, all you need to do in Hollywood now to make an action film, I swear there's more as well. I swear Liam Neeson's done something along these lines, but I couldn't find one. And... there was another guy as well. John Cusack's been doing weird random action films recently as well. The Carpenter. Oh, no, that's definitely not an action film. Although a mad woman and her cheating husband hire men to fix up their new house. Mysterious Carpenter Ed becomes her guardian angel, but he is actually an executed... What? Don't leave me on that. Yeah, actually, an executed. Oh, fuck off, ads. I can't see. Is actually an executed killer whose spirit returned to finish the dream house he once started. Okay.
Fuck's sake. Oh, my God. The closest Liam Neeson's got is you've either got The Commuter.
Oh, okay.
While traveling home, an insurance agent is contacted by a secret passenger who decides to race against time to unfold the identity of the stranger. So, yeah, there's The Commuter. That's another terrible name for... But most of them are all classic Liam Neeson. Retribution. Yeah. Non-stop.
Retribution. Oh, man, it's just hilarious. So, yeah, basically, if you want to write just a cash cow with no substance whatsoever, pick a profession, loosely fit it into a way a killer might do whatever they do, or an action hero or a spy, and then there you go. You've got, like, easy money for Hollywood.
Fucking hell. That's so stupid. I can't believe, I can't believe The Baker... is a fucking moot.
So I urge everybody listening to go Google image The Baker, and it's Ron Perlman and he's holding
fucking
a
rolling pin. Jesus Christ.
But so then this is it. I blame Jason Statham because I think he kickstarted this whole find a profession and turn it into a Hitman cover.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. He did. What other has he got any other ones like that?
I thought he did, but I was on IMDb the other day and I couldn't actually see any, like, not that directly relate to that, but
he's been in some fucking terrible movies.
He really has. Have you been, that's got Jessica Alba in it, and I love Jessica Alba. Have you, you got Crank and The Meg and Spy and stuff like that, but no. Did you ever have the IMDb app on your phone?
No.
Did you not? So me and my mates, we used to be real big film geeks. Gary Curson's, shout out to you if you ever listen to this. But me and him, we used to use that app probably like 10 times a day to win arguments, like about who was in what film and stuff like that. It just always used to happen.
Yeah.
I used to love geeking out over stuff like that. Parker, save Killer Elite Blitz. No, there's no more, I don't think, with him in it. But you've got Transporter. But
yeah, he's basically the fucking same in every movie, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I hate his American accent. I didn't know he was in Collateral. I watched Collateral recently. That's a great film.
Collateral is a great film.
Mean Machine Goes to Mars. But anyway, yeah, that is it. That is my bugbear with current Hollywood film naming. I just thought it was shit. But let's move on to Fit Talk right now. So today's Fit Talk is, what five pieces of equipment would you pick in for a gym? So here's the variables. Variables are, you can have all the plates you want and a whole set of something counts as one item. But bars count as one item each.
You almost made this really easy for me because when you initially planned this out, you put 10 pieces of equipment.
Yeah, and I was like, shit. And I wrote out my five and I was like, fuck, yeah, I don't actually know what else I would have in here. Do you know what I mean?
To be honest, this is fairly easy. So
it is very easy.
I need a squat rack, but like I'd rather get like a full cage, you know, like a full squat cage.
Okay.
So squat rack, one, and that will have a pull-up attachment on it, right? I would just, no need for anything crazy, standard 7-foot Olympic barbell. So that's two things. Obviously, full set of plates, if that counts.
No, so the plates are included. So you've got more options.
A bench.
Yep.
So that's three, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
A full rack of hex dumbbells.
Mm-hmm.
And a cable machine. Big dual pulley cable machine.
Okay.
And then that's everything. What else do you need?
Yeah, cool. Yeah, no. My list, I just wanted to see how much on the same page we were, because my list is exactly the same. However, I have taken liberties. I have gone for a power rack with a lap pull down and row attachment on it.
Yes,
I'm doing this properly. I want one of those motherfuckers that looks like a transformer that you see on like these things. Yeah. So yeah,
well,
that's
if you
what
get,
I'm doing.
You could get, you could also get dual pulley cable machines that have a seated row attachment and a lap pull down attachment, but also have like four different stacks on.
Also get a cable machine that goes on a power rack as well. So that was another route I was going to go down, but I didn't want to take the piss too much. So we're basically exactly on. The only honorable mention I was going to give is a set of kettlebells as well. But to be honest, if you've got a set of dumbbells, you don't need them. And then cardio machines, but you know, you can run. So mine is exactly the same. The reason I wanted to do this, and I was really hoping you were going to come out with exactly the same list as I have, is to show people that you really don't need much to to just get shit done in a gym. You don't need all the fancy new equipment. You don't need leg presses. You don't need like leg extensions. You don't need shoulder presses, fly machines, anything like that. The most expensive piece of kit on here, depending on what kind of brand you're buying, is going to be the double cable machine, a dual pulley cable machine. If you're going for an expensive one, that's going to set you up anywhere from between $1,000 and $5,000. But you can get cheaper ones as well for like $200-300 that are actually plate loaded. So even that can like might not be a bad investment. If you had everything on this and you were going for something that is going to last you like 10 years without breaking, everything on here, the dumbbells are going to be actually the one that throws the price right up, to be honest. Because if you've got a full set of dumbbells, 2.5s to 50s, you're looking at about $3,000 to $4,000 for that. But for less than $10,000, I know that sounds like a lot of money, but for less than $10,000, you could have everything you could ever possibly need for like a long time in a gym.
Yeah. Yeah. Easily. Easily. Mm. And then from there, to be honest, I would be buying like weird strength kit. You know, like I'd buy like farmer's handles and a yoke and like weird stuff like that just because I enjoy that shit. Maybe a box just to jump onto. But
yeah,
really, all the main shit, you barbell, fucking dumbbells, weights, and then just the squat rack and a bench so you can fucking put stuff on. And then the cable machine really is just for arms and back. Like, that's all I'm really using it for. I'm using it for get my lats involved and get my arms and maybe my shoulders worked out a bit better. That's it.
If I had to reduce this list to three, what would you pick?
Reduce the list to three.
Mm-hmm.
I'd actually be, it's a choice between bar or dumbbells, right? That's, I think, and then that changes everything. So if I just picked dumbbells, it'd be bench, dumbbells, cable machine. If I picked bar, it'd be bar, squat rack, bench.
Squat rack, bench. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because you've got plates anyway, haven't you? So it'd be bar, squat rack, bench, because I still need to bench.
Or
I'd just floor press forever, you know? But I think I'd rather have a bench. Which is hard. It's hard. But I would say, if I'd probably go dumbbells, bench, cable machine.
Cables. That's what I would do.
And that's a bit more versatile.
It is. Yeah, I would do exactly the same. I'd go dumbbells, bench, and cable machine. And again, like just to highlight something. So I've got a set of dumbbells in my gym that go up to 32.5 kilos each. They're adjustable ones. They're not ideal. They're cumbersome and everything, but you still get shit done with them, a lot of shit done with them. And I have a bench. Like if I wanted to, that's 65 kilos total weight. That's definitely like, you know, not going to be breaking any strength records there, but you can get some fucking work done with just those adjustable dumbbells. They go from 5 all the way up to 32.5 each and a bench. Like you can get a lot of work. There's not any muscle group that you can't hit with that equipment. And you may be thinking, oh yeah, but how do I deadlift? Like 60 something kilos is nothing for a deadlift. It is if you're doing a single leg RDL. Like that is plenty of weight there just to get for reps, just to get some decent stuff in there. Cable incline, a Dumbo incline bench row, like Duffin rows, anything like that. There's so much stuff that you can do, and you're just going to get, you're going to be able to get an absolute phenomenal workout in. So guys, this is something we haven't spoke about since like the early days, but you do not need a shit ton of equipment to be able to get a workout in. So if you still haven't got around to your, to hitting the gym or getting ahead of your goals yet this year, because you're thinking, I can't get to the gym, I haven't got the equipment. Just an investment of that. So for a set of those dumbbells, you're probably looking at £300 max. And then for a bench, you can probably pick one up for 80 to £100. Like, so for way less than £500, you're going to have everything you need. And then just get, if you really want anything else for some extra little bits, get a set of heavy bands as well. And then you can hit all the other little muscle groups then as well. And you'll be absolutely set to go.
Yep. I mean, it's as simple as that, isn't it? It doesn't have to be hard. Uncomplicated. You don't have to have crazy shit. You don't have to listen to some people be like, this is the best, like buy my power plate and shake 20 pounds off, you know, fuck it all. You just need simple stuff, just need to be able to move. And also, you actually don't need any kit as well. We talked about this before. You don't need anything.
Yeah, you really don't. No,
it just
you get away with it.
Yeah, it's just gonna be hard as fuck.
It will be hard as fuck. Yeah. But if you ever want guidance, head over to www.therdasystem.com and look at our 3 and 5 day home workout options. Hell yeah!
Yeah.
One more question on this, actually. If you had to pick one piece of unconventional equipment, I think I've asked you this recently and we both had the same answer, I believe. I can't remember. One piece of unconventional equipment to add to the list of this, what would that be?
That's fucking hard. So,
that is hard.
It's what is it useful for? Yeah, so.
So, do you remember what yours was last time I asked you this? And I asked you this for a reason at the time because it was specific to something you were doing.
I fucking can't remember. I don't know if I said rings.
No, it wasn't. So, we both had the same answer.
Unless it's an Atlas stone.
Yes, you did. Yeah. Because when you were doing the stone lifting. So yeah, that's what mine would be as well. The Atlas stone, it'd probably be an 80 kilo Atlas stone because fuck 100 kilos. And I've seen people, you know, obviously lift the 220 kilo ones. But 80 kilo ones, like even a 60 kilo one, you can get gassed to fuck
one
of those. So yeah, they're amazing bits. I think I would... Yeah, you can get like the big Rogue one. Rogue makes some like rubberized ones as well, which are fucking awesome. But... Yeah, just like
D-balls, I think they call them. D-balls.
Are they like the sandbag type ones?
I'm not sure, but they're fucking minging.
Are they?
Yeah, because like sandbags as well, it's similar in a sense that they are absolutely gross. So
I love sandbags. I don't use them enough. Yeah. Do you remember Viper? Do you remember them?
Viper.
They're like log press type things. I saw a marketplace, there's a whole set of them for sale for like £150. You can't add weight or anything to them though. And they're like, they're like a log press, but just they don't have, you can't add any extra weight to them. But they were a big thing for all back when I was doing my PT certification. They were a big thing back then. I just never really saw the point. But
no,
they're functional, but I'd rather use a sandbag. You can use them for exactly the same thing. But yeah, on Marketplace, quite local as well, £150, there's a full set.
Nice. Get one.
Yeah, no. Right, guys, let's move on to study time next. So today's study time is... Scientists identify how dietary restriction slows brain aging and increases lifespan. The mechanism provides potential therapeutic targets to slow aging and age-related neurodegenerative diseases. This is from January 11th this year from the Buck Institute for Research on Aging. I'm just going to go over like a brief summary of this. And then we'll have a discussion afterwards. So restricting calories is known to improve health and increase lifespan, but much of how it does so remains a mystery, especially in regard to how it protects the brain. Scientists have now uncovered a role for a gene called OXR1 that is necessary for the lifespan extension seen with dietary restriction and is essential for healthy brain aging. When people restrict the amount of food they eat, they typically think it might affect their digestive tract or fat buildup, but not necessarily about how it affects the brain. As it turns out, OXR1 is a gene that is important in the brain. We found a neuron-specific response that mediates the neuroprotection of dietary restriction. Strategies such as intermittent fasting or caloric... caloric restriction, which limit nutrients, may enhance levels of this gene to mediate its protective effects. OXR1 is an important brain resilience factor protecting against aging and neurological diseases. The gene protects cells from oxidative damage, but the mechanism for how this gene functions was unclear. The loss of OXR1 in humans results in severe neurological defects and premature death. In mice, extra OXR1 improves survival in a model of amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS. They found that OXR1 affects a complex called the retromere, which is a set of proteins necessary for recycling cellular proteins and lipids. The retromere is an important mechanism in neurons because it determines the fate of all proteins that are brought into the cell. Retromere dysfunction has been associated with age-related neurodegenerative diseases that are protected by a dietary restriction, specifically Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases. Diet is influencing this gene. By eating less, you are actually enhancing this mechanism of proteins being sorted properly in your cells because your cells are enhancing the expression of OXR1. Hopefully from this, we can get more of an idea of why our brains degenerate in the first place. Diet impacts all the processes in your body. I think this, and this is from a researcher, I think this work supports efforts to follow a healthy diet because what you eat is going to affect you more than you know. So this is an interesting one. They've found yet another thing that is going to have some implications for aging, healthy aging, and all of that jazz. And diet is so important. Like, you literally, you are the expression. You are what you eat. Like, that is that is what the expression is, and it is true. And you are how you eat as well. It doesn't go into how much calorie restriction it's talking about in this. I think it's more along the lines of getting yourself to a baseline. Kind of, when we spoke about Brian Johnson, what's his daily calorific intake? It's like 2,000, isn't it? Or I don't think it's as high as 2,005.
Who?
Brian Johnson.
Yeah. That's why I was just looking it up now, because this is reminding me of it. He naturally puts himself in a deficit. It was like 2,200, but I think he's upped it recently.
Yeah, so I know he started strength training again, like a bit harder recently. So, but basically, there will be a point where going into a calorie restriction isn't necessarily a calorie restriction anymore. It is going to be maintenance, and that's going to be what Brian Johnson's doing. So otherwise, he'd just continue to lose weight. That's the law of thermodynamics. But
here it is. He's 2,250. So, he's eating 2,250 calories a day.
For a guy his size, his shape, and the amount of work he does, that really isn't much. But he's made that a baseline for himself, and then that's like where he's sat at the moment. So basically,
and he sits at like 6% body fat as well. So he sits fucking low.
So that's mad. Yeah, 6% body fat. But he also feels amazing. And that's because of what he eats, the way he eats, and obviously the fact he's paying $2 million or $2 million a year to stay healthy and shit like that. We haven't all got that. But I'm not using this to advocate time-sensitive eating and stuff like that. But what I am saying is, like, if you're restricting the shit out of your food, if you are eating mindfully, if you are eating good quality food, and we're going to get to this on the hot topic in a minute, then you're just going to set yourself up for way more success and better aging as well. I'm not going into this study because I want you to think, yeah, I'm going to live forever, but I've seen the ravages of what neurodegenerative diseases do to people, and it's not very nice. People don't, it's not a very fun thing. And if you could stop that just by changing the way you eat a little bit, it doesn't have to be restricting everything all the time, then why not do that? Just think a little bit of the future as opposed to thinking of the right here and now.
Definitely is also just like, it's not a bad thing to just not eat so much fucking shit. You know what I mean? Like, we stop overindulging ourselves and understanding why we're doing that. Yeah, it's more and more stuff comes out about why it's a good idea to be at optimal weight or to be in a restriction, and not just because it's healthy for your heart or your body in general, but also now you're gonna live a little bit longer, which is fucking great. We all, I know, and it always blows my mind when people go, oh, I don't want to get old, I don't want to live till I'm old. And it's because they see old people that have not looked after themselves their whole life, and then they look like shit. And actually, this not only will make you live longer, but I imagine will make you live healthier as you get older, so you can do more stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's healthy aging. It's not just living longer, it's aging healthier, isn't it? And that's such a massive thing. So, Josh, what's your, like, obviously when we were younger and you used to think, okay, what is old? Like, that's changed, I think, not just because we've got older, but I think the whole idea of what is old now has changed significantly in the last 20 years. I think it really has. And, I mean, 20 years ago, I would have been 19, and I'm like, well, what did I think old was back then? I probably would have said 60 or something like that, just out of ignorance. But now, part of it's because I'm older, but the other part is I think people are more educated. People know what they can do to keep themselves healthier. And it might be because we're in a bit of a bubble because of what we do. We look for these things. We look for proof of concept and stuff like that. We don't necessarily see, we don't go out looking for the other side of things, which is all around us, is like unhealthy aging. We try to find the other stuff. So for me, like, old now is really, it can be really subjective. I know people who are like younger than me, and how old do you know? You're 30, aren't you? I know people who are like your age who act, move, and seem older than some 50-year-olds. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Just because don't know how to do anything. They can't do anything for themselves. They've got no strength. They've got no muscle mass. They eat shit all the time. They sit at a desk all the time. They're just completely restricting themselves from a healthy future.
Yeah, I think for me, and from working in the hospital, what was interesting was, I think there's a certain age where if you've let yourself fully go, where it's really hard to bring it back. And I found that people over the age of 60 were, I mean, there's still an ability to bring it back, but it's just going to take a bit more time. But where there's people at the age of 60 who, it was, the spectrum was so wide, in the sense that there were some people who looked like they were 90, could barely move, like were fucked. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there was people who were running marathons, you know? So it was such a wide spectrum from like 60 onwards. It was absolutely mental, the difference. So I wouldn't say that that's old. It's just that it can
be.
It's more dramatic after that kind of age.
One of the things I heard a couple of years ago, I think the first person I heard it from, I think it was Sal DiStefano from Mind Pump, and he says that, though this is getting more and more untrue as time goes along, because even children are like obese now, especially in the States and somewhat here as well. But the discrepancy between healthy aging gets significantly more the older you get. So if you do even like, I don't know, as much as 50% of the right things, the distance between you and someone the same age as you who does nothing by the time you're 50 or 60 is fucking huge. Like, it'd be an interesting, somewhat unethical, illegal study, but it'd be interesting to have twins and then have one just live the slovenly life and the other one just do enough. Just do a little bit,
yeah,
and then see what the difference is, because the line between the two would be fucking significant. There would be a decline, but the decline of the someone who just done a little bit, like going out for a daily walk and making the right food choices, just something as little as, and maybe like strength training one to three times a week. In fact, that would be one of the biggest things you'd ever see, like in terms of change. I dare say, even just a walk and making healthy food choices, that would draw a big enough difference between a decline. Add strength training 3 times a week into that as well. Fuck me, that's going to be a huge difference.
And it's compounding interest as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's, as the more you do it, the longer you do it for, the better the benefit, you know?
Yeah.
Like people always say, if I had the knowledge I have now when I was fucking a kid, like, if then it's the same.
When were you fucking a kid?
Well, fuck you, such a dick.
What the hell?
Oh, fucking hell.
Josh, holy shit, Freudian slip.
Let's fucking go to the hot topic. God damn it.
Yeah, no, you're right. Like, it is about the knowledge, and yeah, a lot of people just, the thing is, what I'm going to say on to add to what you just said, the first part, not the last part, is what do you need for compounded interest? Because what you just said is a really good point. What you need for that is an understanding of delayed gratification. Okay, and this is where it comes into food, especially, because food is absolute nightmare for this. Delayed gratification. If you've got money in the bank and you're looking for compound interest, you need to keep that money in the bank, because any interest will keep on compounding, resulting in way much more money than what you initially started out with. Now, the same is true of gratification as well. I'm not saying live your life like a fucking unhappy bastard, but if you can delay your gratification in the moment, the one I always use to illustrate this is every day after work, I used to get off the train and I used to have to walk past a KFC to get back home. And the smell of a KFC is just like, oh my fucking God, yes, I want it now. And I could have stopped in there every single day quite happily. I would have just like grabbed a few hot wings and maybe a tower burger. And that would have been me giving in to instant gratification.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you can delay that and instead, well, just think to yourself, how am I going to feel about that tomorrow? You're not going to feel amazing that you've done it. You're not going to think, oh my God, that was such a good choice tomorrow morning. You're going to think, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that. A, it costs a shitload of money. B, I feel like shit today. However, you've done it, the moment you've done it, you would have felt great. Like in the moment, you're like, oh my God, this is delicious. This is amazing. This is great. Yes, I'm loving life. But that gratification, that enjoyment of the thing goes almost immediately after you've finished it. So if you can just delay that, make the healthy choices, that will just make your life, your quality of life, your aging just so much better.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly that. Start eating in a deficit, people.
Yeah. Yeah, just get healthy. But yes, Josh, let's move on to the hot topic. And today's hot topic is a nice simple one, because this needs to be simplified, and is the my top seven steps to get your nutrition on track. And the results for this is, have you feeling great and fueling your workouts? The drivers are, most people overcomplicate food. I want you to do better, people. And the actions are, here are 7 very simple tips you can follow that will make you feel amazing. Number one is a very obvious one, and that is, track your food, even if you're only doing it temporarily.
Yep. Fucking yes. Do it.
Yeah. As simple as that. Guys, I'm a big advocate for maybe 4 times a year for 3 weeks. Track your food, just so you'd understand what it's doing. 2 weeks doesn't seem to be quite enough sometimes, because there's too much variance in 2 weeks, but 3 weeks seems to be just the magic mark of getting a real good understanding of what you're having. So even if it's for 3 weeks every quarter, or even like twice a year, just track your food so you understand what calories are, what you're putting in yourself, and how that is affecting your mood, your weight, and your physique, because that is going to be some of the biggest lessons you could ever learn.
So, and just mainly so you can understand how much calories there is in pasta. I mean, fucking hell.
Yeah.
So much in pasta. And people eat pasta all the time. I'm only saying this because I made a meal prep the other day of pasta, and I was like, holy shit, the amount of calories in this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you'll surprise yourself when you start tracking food of what. Some things will be less than you think. Some things will be less calories than you think. And then you'll be like, oh, that's why I'm so fucking hungry all the time. Because I'm only having a 200 calorie lunch when I should be having 5, you know? So, yeah, definitely tracking your food. It just opens your eye to what's going on.
Yeah, it really does. And you just grab something like Chronometer or My Fitness Pal, and it'll warn you through it all. It'll take you through it all and let you know how to work out and stuff like that. So yeah, it can be a bit of a pain in the butt, but it will actually tie in well with another thing that we have here as well on point four. So I'll save it for point four, but track your food, guys.
Yes.
Now, to track your food, there's no point really doing it if you don't know what you're aiming for. So number two is work out your TDEE, and that is your total daily energy expenditure. So you've got your BMR, which is your basal metabolic rate, which is how many calories you – it's not to be confused with a BMI, by the way. Just don't ever pay attention to the BMI because it's shockingly bad and inaccurate. But your BMR is your basal metabolic rate, and that is how many calories you are burning at rest. Now, when you then take into context your activity for the day, that is your total daily energy expenditure. So if your BMR might be something around the 1400 mark, your TDEE could be around like the 2200 mark, or more than that for most people. That's just some arbitrary numbers are thrown out there. So there are TDEE calculators all over the internet. Just type it in and you will find a calculator to work this out for yourself. But once you know and it's, by the way, guys, although the art of calories in, calories out can be an exact science, it's not for you straight away. This is a bit of trial and error here. So just fill it out to the best of your ability. And usually at the bottom of these, once you've filled it out, it'll give you some options, whether you want to gain weight, maintain weight, or lose weight. And then it'll throw you out a number of what your total calorie intake for the day should be. So if you want to lose weight, it'll probably say drop it by 10%. And that's kind of what we recommend as well, is like dropping it by 10% just to see how you get on with that and then go from there. And you can adjust it as you go on. But if you work out your TDEE, then you'll know exactly what your baseline is to start with.
Yeah, and it's really important when working out your TD is to be honest with how much you move. So generally it will say, are you like sedentary, lightly active, moderately active, very active, extremely active, you know, and that all depends on, you know, you're not going to be extremely active unless your job itself is an extremely active job or you're an athlete, right? So if you're an athlete, then you're going to be extremely active. You're training multiple times a day, and et cetera. Or say you work in construction and you're carrying shit all day and moving nonstop and training hard. Most people generally will fit into like moderate activity or even light. And people think it's also what's a hard workout, right? If you're doing a powerlifting program and you're going in and resting quite a lot and just lifting heavy, you're not actually that active. If you're going in and doing CrossFit and absolutely fucking nailing yourself every time you train, then that ups the intensity of your activity levels. So you got really, really honest about it. The best way to do that is to check your steps, obviously. Have something recording your steps. And if your steps are in the fucking, if they're less than 4,000, you know, you have fucking really low in activity. But if they're 10 to 20,000 a day,
I just looked at mine for the day. I've had a lazy day so far. I'm under 1,000.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So if you're 10 to 20, though, a day, you know, you're pretty fucking active. So, alongside training. So that's where you really need to make sure you're accurate about, or honest about, how much activity you're actually putting in.
Yeah. Remember, this is for you. If you're not being honest with what you're doing, then it's not going to fucking work and you're just going to get frustrated and give up anyway. So yeah, work out your TDEE, guys. There's loads of calculators on there. Just Google it and you'll find one. Number three, work out your protein intake in particular, and then you can have freedom of the other macros. So we spoke a lot about protein. Was it in the last episode? I believe it was.
Yep.
We spoke a lot about protein there. So you want to be aiming for a minimum of 1.6 grams per kilo, but we recommend going for a gram per pound of body weight, especially if you're trying to lose fat. If fat loss isn't so much a thing, then I'd definitely say you've got a bit more wiggle room and you can lean more towards that 1.6 mark. But the protein is going to be the most important because it's satiating, it's going to preserve muscle mass, it's just going to help you with your training. And it's your whole entire body, every single bit of it is made up of protein. So yeah, you need to hit that protein intake. And one of the things that I forget that people don't know, it's not actually common knowledge, is that if you're eating 100 grams of chicken, that is not 100 grams of protein, guys. If you're eating 100 grams of chicken, you're getting between 24 and 30 grams of protein in that. So that just tells you how much chicken you need to be eating to get your protein intake. It's not gram for gram the amount of meat you're eating, it's the amount of protein within that meat.
And I think what, like, a large egg is like 7 grams of protein or something along those lines. So
it always makes me chuckle when people are like, I'm definitely well high in the protein today, I had a 2-egg omelet. I'm like, yeah, cool, double that, and then that's actually a portion of protein. And I'm just, so don't let me belittle that. A 2-egg omelet is better than like a bowl of cereal, but it's still not a massive amount of protein.
Also, a 2-egg omelet must be a really small omelet.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, or thin, just really thin.
Yeah, what's the point?
Yeah,
well, check yourselves, people, if you're having a 2-egg omelet. Yeah, it just doesn't work. If you have a 2-egg omelet, add 100 grams of ham, and then now we're talking. That's good. Yeah, so with the other macros, guys, some people adapt better to high fat, some people adapt better to high carb. Now, I personally work better with high fat, lower carb. I can get on well with higher carbs. The only problem is when I have high carbs, it makes me crave carbs even more. So this is a bit of a self-awareness thing for me. When I'm eating all the carbs, I want all the carbs. When I'm not eating all the carbs and I'm focusing more on fats, then that puts me in a healthier place. I'm more satisfied and I don't get as much brain fog either. So that is usually a good place for me. But let's say when you've worked out your TDE, you're working it all into MyFitnessPal or something like that, you are setting your protein target for like 33%, whatever. That's going to give you 33% of another macro and 34% of another one. So I tell you what, let's set your protein to 34 and then have the other two set at 33 each. And then you can just jiggle them around a bit to see how you feel. It's a bit of a learning curve, guys. And you want to experiment a bit. If you are experimenting and you want to get serious about this, I would say give each one like 3 weeks of one way or another. So give 3 weeks of like slightly higher fat, then 3 weeks of slightly higher carbs. Just see which one makes you feel better.
Yeah, definitely. You know, everybody, like you said, everybody's different. Some people prefer high fat, some people prefer high carbs. It's completely different. But like, for instance, I'm just kind of the same. If I have loads of carbs, I just want to eat like garlic bread all the time. But you know what I mean? I could go the other way with fats as well and just start putting butter on everything just because I just want fat. So I tried to nail like more of a balanced way in between the two because I can easily lean too far the other way on either of them. So yeah, it depends on what your vices are, I think, sometimes, not just how it makes you feel.
It requires self-awareness, but I will say if you are a high-level athlete, then you might want to up the carbs a little bit just because it's a bit more accessible version of fuel, unless you're looking at doing it in ketosis, and then that requires a bit more forethought and stuff like that. But yeah, if you're just a normal person, guys, I tend to find like a balanced or even slightly higher on the fats actually just seems to work for people in terms of mental acuity and stuff like that too. So number four, this is where this all starts coming together, and this is where you actually start having to make some serious fucking choices, because this is one of the most important ones that people overlook. Everyone's heard of if it fits your macros. That's great. That's great for people who are super, super strict and they are doing that. But most people have got so many other variables in their life to take into context. I'm not too keen on if it fits your macros. So point number four, nail your food quality. Get it from as healthy and as natural sources as possible. I'm not saying you have to eat grass-fed everything. I'm not saying you have to go and hand-rear a freaking water buffalo in your garden to chop a steak off every now and then. But try to make sure you're getting whole meats. Try to make sure you're getting quality veg. Try to make sure you're eating plenty of fruit. Try to make sure you're eating unrefined carbs. So like you were saying earlier on about the pasta, Josh, cut that shit out because it's very calorie dense and you do not get a nutritional reward from it. So cut things like bread, pasta, pastries, get rid of all of that shit. Focus on good quality carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. And that is probably good. Even if you didn't have the first three points, if you could nail food quality and at least get a fair bit of protein in there, that will probably make you feel better than you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, definitely some just good quality food if you can, where you can. And, you know, trying to source it from the best places possible if you have the ability to, if there's a nice market where, you know, you're going to get, you know, I would say vegetables and fruit, your best stuff, trying to get them from a local market if there is one near you, because that, you know, yeah, that's going to be been grown better and done better and it's got less shit on it. Yeah, 100%. Because also the actual food standards for fruit in supermarkets, some of it can be covered in like 80% of mold and they can still sell it, you know? So it's like, yeah, I know I'm obviously like over exaggerating a bit there. I don't actually know the numbers, but you know, the food doesn't actually have to be that high quality. So you get it as from where you can, that's as locally sourced as possible.
Yeah. And that is the better, guys. Like if you've got more available capital, like using it to give yourself a better diet is one of the best investments you can make. But if you aren't flush with cash, just try to pick decent cuts of meat and like get plenty of fruit and veg in. Like the fruit and veg, to be fair, like that you should be able to get that from markets without worrying too much about breaking the bank. It's the meat that's going to make the real difference. But just do what you can with the resources you've got and just try and keep it as clean as possible. And a lot of people at that point would be like, oh, but it's so fucking expensive. And it's like, not really, because once you cut out all the snacks and the fucking Starbucks and shit like that, you'll find out you actually start to save money.
Yeah, 100%. Definitely.
So the next one is along the lines of this, and it's eat the rainbow. And it's such a cliche, but it really is true. If you can eat as many different fruits and veggies as possible, all the different colors actually have different nutrients assigned to them. So carrot's going to be different from red cabbage. Red cabbage is going to be different from white onions. Mushrooms are going to be different from whatever else. Like all of these things, they all have their own different nutrients, because and that's what dictates the color in some cases. So if you're eating a load of different fruit and veg, you're going to cover a lot of your vitamins in just through eating those different ones. And the meat, by the way, is going to cover a lot of vitamins and minerals as well. But yeah, if you can eat a load of different colored stuff, have fun, like experiment with shit. If you haven't eaten a dragon fruit, go eat a dragon fruit. Have you ever eaten a dragon fruit, Josh?
No.
No, I don't think I have either. They sell them in Asda. I might grab one. But yeah, like just try all these different things. There's this, what's the harm? Like you might find out you've got a new favorite food.
Yeah. We try and do that quite often, actually. We try and have lots of different colors in a meal. I make a lot of stews and stuff and I just cut everything up real small and just shove it in and slow cook it and eat that. And I make loads of variety of veg and just chop the shit out of it and throw it in and it's great. So yeah. Eat the rainbow, get some Skittles. It's just simple.
You should get some Skittles. And then what you just said is actually a really good thing. So a lot of parents will say, oh yeah, it's fine, but I can't get my kids to eat it. But then what you just said, Josh, like fucking chop it up really fine. Yeah, you may lose some of the fiber and some of the nutrients may get dissolved a little bit, but it's still going to be better than not having any of it. You can whack it in a bolognese or a stew. And some people even whack it into like burger patties and stuff like that. Yeah, just get on with it. There's always ways if you can think hard enough about it.
I want burgers now. Fuck.
Yeah, man. I haven't had a decent burger in a while, so I'm down with that. No one's told me where we're going Saturday night yet, so I still don't know if burgers is on the option or if it's going to be a curry or what, so I haven't got a clue.
I don't know what the menu is.
Okay, interesting. Okay, point six is get your water intake right. And that is going to be anywhere from 2.5 to as much as 4 liters for some people, depending on what your activity levels are. If you are working on a building site all day and going to the gym 5 days a week, you're going to want close to a gallon of water, which is like 4 liters ish. But most people, I say, as a general rule, aim for 3 liters, because chances are you're probably not going to hit it. So at least if you're aiming for 3, you might still hit 2 to 2.5 liters, which is, you know, the baseline level of where you want to be. This, it cannot be stressed how important it is. I've got a client right now, stubborn motherfucker. I told him as much yesterday. I was like, man, if I could get you to do one thing in your life, it would be increase your water intake. He drinks sometimes, like yesterday, he had a cup of tea.
Oh, fucking A.
A cup of tea the whole day. That's not unusual for him. He won't even drink a 500 ml bottle of water a day. I'm like, what? why? He's like, I just forget. I'm like, man, like, come on. I'm trying to set habit coaches and stuff like that for him and stuff like that. But he's just, yeah, it's for him, no matter how much I describe how important it is, it's just not on his priority list. And it's a shame because people have to come to these realizations themselves. I'm guiding him as much as I can. I've never had so much pushback. It's mental. But it is one of the most important things. It's just going to revitalize your whole body. You're going to feel more energetic. Your brain's going to function properly. Everything in your body's going to function more properly. Like, just get it done. The organs work, the way your brains work, the way your skin reacts to stuff, the way your hair grows, all of this stuff. Like, it's just going to get better if you have a proper water intake.
Yep, 100%. So I'm the same. I fucking, so many people I know, they're just like, don't drink water, and I'm like, why? The worst of people that say they don't like the taste of water, I don't get it, because it doesn't really taste of anything. It's just water.
If you don't like the taste, you just squirt a little bit of lemon juice or lime juice or like something like that,
and just have squirt a bit and you'll be fine.
And my last one, and this becomes very important with water intake as well: hit your fiber RDA. So hit your recommended daily allowance of fiber. I recommend somewhere between 24 and 30 grams. That's gonna sort you out. It's gonna be good. You can get supplements for this. Psyllium husk is a really popular one. When I'm hitting my fiber, it's usually coming from berries and nuts and some veggies as well. But berries have a real decent fiber content, blueberries, raspberries especially, and I eat a lot of cashews, almonds, and walnuts as well, and those sorts of things also give me fiber. But if you're struggling to hit it, get some psyllium husk in your life as well, and that is also gonna really, really help with your energy levels. I think we might have even done a whole freaking episode on fiber at one point, or at least spent a long time talking about it. So yeah, go back for our back catalog and you'll be able to find that. But fiber is incredibly important, and it's mostly overlooked when you're talking about diet or just thinking about diet, but it will make a hell of a difference to the way you feel.
Yep, definitely get it in you, get some fiber in you. Any grains, pulses, stuff like that, beans and stuff like that, it's all wonderful. Get lots of fiber in. I get a big chunk of fiber in my breakfast every morning with blueberries, oats and almonds. That's kind of and it will make you feel better and make you poo better, and we all want to poo better.
We want to poo better. Pooing better is a sign of a healthy body. You have overnight oats, don't you?
Yeah.
What happens to the almonds in that? Do they still stay crunchy, or do they go like...
Yes, they stay crunchy, because I just throw them on top. I don't mix them in.
Yeah, okay, cool. Chia, I have chia seeds as well, ground chia, flaxseed, sorry, that's another one that has fiber. But yeah, there's loads of ways to do it. Yeah, guys, look, these are my 7 tips to get your nutrition on track. They're really fucking simple. Well, I probably overcomplicated it just by what I was saying, but track your food. Work out your TDE, work out your protein intake, and then you can be semi-flexible with the other two macros, or your fats and your carbs. Nail your food quality. It can't overstate how important that one is. Eat the rainbow. Get your water intake right. Again, I can't say how important that is. And hit your fiber RDA.
Boom. Get on it, people. Boom.
Get on it. Get on it. And again, once you've nailed all those, you're driving the car. You don't have to think about all the separate things. So yeah, get on it.
So in light of this conversation, what do you call someone who won't stick to a diet?
I don't know.
A deserter.
Very good. I was watching, have you heard of a film called The Strays?
No. Is that about the dogs?
Yeah, it's the dogs. It's Will Ferrell, Jamie Foxx, Ida Fisher, and the Asian detective guy from Randall Parks, I think his name is, from Ant-Man, who's actually quite funny. Yeah. And it's like proper R-rated 18, dog film, narrated thing. I will give it kudos because it's got some of the best animal mouth animation I've ever seen. It just works really well. But it just made me laugh. Maybe it's because I was tired, but one of them was trying to tell a joke. There we go. Knock, knock. And all the others go, woof, 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 woof. It just made me
chuckle. That is funny.
It was good. But yeah, I recommend watching that film.
Mm. They can find us at the RDA Strength System on Instagram.
It's because I was going to start speaking about Echo again. And I was like, no, it's the end of the episode. Let's go for it. Where can
you
find us?
You can find us at www.therdasystem.com. And you can find me and Jack on LinkedIn at Josh Parkin and Jack Buffery, all on LinkedIn.
You can. Guys, something has happened with YouTube. I'm not sure why, but the last like 6 episodes aren't on there. And I only realized this earlier on this morning. So I'm going to start working out why that has happened today. And hopefully you'll be able to see our lovely mugs and just enjoy our presence. But when we are up there, well, I'll tell you what, no, just go through our last episodes, watch them all and hit the notification bell, leave us love, comment on everything, and do that for every platform we're on. Just, you know, subscribe, share, do all that jazz. This has been episode 111. All the ones, join us on Monday for episode 112, where Josh is going to give you all the info bombs you need about whatever he's going to talk about. Until then, guys, have a great day. We will see you on the next episode.
Bye.